Hi, Kevin Murphy here. You're listening to Conversations with Kevin, a show about innovation, creativity, product, and purpose. It contains all the ingredients that make up what Kevin Murphy is and what we stand for. So I'm Kevin Murphy, and this is Conversations with Kevin.
Hi, welcome to Conversations with Kevin. I'm Nathan Gorman, and today we're here to talk about pricing. Off the back of our supply chain podcast, where we looked at how corporations feel and are affected by pricing, I wanted to sit with a cross-section of salon owners from different areas of the world and get an understanding of how we're affected by things and how we respond. I mean, we all want to be successful. We all want to have adequate stock in our shelves and have a team that feels remunerated for the work that they do. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a healthy business. It doesn't make you less creative. But today I want to look at what the KPIs we should look at to feel that we're doing all we can and more in the salon. So today I have very special guests from our network, Janine Simons, an award-winning business owner and key part of our network as the Colour Master in APAC. Janine, welcome. Welcome back.
Hey, Nathan. Great to be here. Thanks for having me back. I'm really looking forward to diving into this topic.
Great. Next we have Natalie Clark-Morgan. Natalie, I never know whether to call you Clark or Morgan, or so I just call you everything. Ex-style master, now Diamond Key, and a salon owner from Austin, Texas. Welcome back, Nat.
Thank you so much, and I'll answer to anything that you call me, and no. I'm really hoping to see all of you at Fast Forward in Austin, Texas this year.
Oh, absolutely. How exciting. So now in the first appearance, or well, it's not really an appearance, on Conversations with Kevin, welcome Alexander Fuchs. Alexander has a complete Kevin Murphy salon in Sydney, and this is actually his first time on the channel. I may have a vested interest in Alex's salon, but that's all I'm saying. Hi, Alex.
Well, hi, everyone. Thanks for having me on the podcast today. Very excited to be part of this.
Great. So I think we should start with a snapshot of each of your individual businesses. In a world where there's nothing like ideal, we know that you need a range of businesses to meet like consumers' needs. Some people prefer, you know, smaller salons, single operators, big salons. So what's the profile staff and how are the staff paid, or are they indeed staff? And what are the major overheads for you in your business? I'm going to start with Janine on that one.
Yeah, sure thing, Nathan. So I have a salon. It's in the I'm in here in New Zealand, and my salon is in Wellington City, and it is in the centre of the city. I currently have a team of 15, a mix of stylists and admin staff, as well as apprentices or training stylists, if you like. Most of my stylists are actually paid on a commission-based, so they earn what they earn, if you like. They get a percentage of what their turnover is. But I also do have salary and wage earners. My trainee stylists are wage earners. My admin staff tend to be hourly rated or wage earners as well. My biggest overhead is absolutely my rent. Being in the middle of the city, my rent is very high. And then followed by that, my goods and the cost of goods and inventory would be my second biggest costs.
Mm. Great. Thank you for that. I'll move on to Alex now, and you can give us a snapshot of your salon, Alex.
Yeah, my salon, Fuchs Hair, is here in the inner city of Sydney. We have a dozen staff, 16 working stations. Out of the dozen, we currently have 6 senior stylists desperately looking for more, and a handful of casual assistants and reception staff. All our seniors are employed with salary and a commission structure, and the rest is casually employed. And our major overheads are wages, rent, cost of products, and, yeah, general outgoings.
Great, thanks. On to you now, Nat.
Thanks. So I am a commission-based company. I've got 4 levels of commission that range from about 44 to 50%. I have 6 stylists, including myself. I'm a full-time hairdresser as well as salon owner. My major overhead is payroll, rent, and health insurance for the team. So insurance is new to us for 2022, and I'm very proud to say that we're covering that expense in full.
Great. So as a global podcast, Nat, I'll throw you in. Can you explain that last line you said about health insurance, because it works quite differently in the US?
Sure. So we don't have any type of what do you call your insurance? What do you say?
Well, we say Medicare in Australia.
Yeah, so everything's privatized in the United States. So, and there's a couple of different options. You can either do group insurance or you can do individual insurance. So it can be very costly, pretty expensive. We've done an individualized insurance, and then I do a reimbursement for the team. So it ends up being quite a hefty cost, but it's one that COVID has definitely taught me is very important and worth the expense.
But I love that word, you're proud to take on that expense. That's what I want to kind of get into. You don't have to pay healthcare. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. We don't have to pay healthcare. It's a benefit that we don't have to do a lot of things in the United States other than basically provide a minimum wage, which is about $7 or nine something per hour. It's ridiculous rate. And then I don't have to provide any type of paid vacation. I don't have to provide any type of sick pay. I don't have to provide any type of insurance expenses. But insurance was our first step. And then next we'll be looking at paid time off. And it is, it's a definitely a point of pride for me to know that my team can go to the doctor, you know, in the event that something happens to them. Mm.
I think we could shoot off into a whole other podcast on that topic. What do you think, Alex and Janine?
I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, whoa, that is so different to how it is for us
but
here.
I think that you should be very proud, Nat, and I think that I can see what would happen is that you would attract the very best staff in town by having great conditions like that. But I'll move on from that. Great. So I suppose we should actually talk about the cost of petrol or gas now, really. You know, it's a bit of a yardstick indicator at the moment. So let's discuss. What do you think, Nat? How much is gas, as you call it, in the States?
So obviously we're not metric, but I'm not going to be one of those Americans that won't, you know, do a conversion. So I did a conversion, and in Austin we're about 88 cents your cost per liter, which is equal to about $4 US dollars per gallon. So on my way back from my massage, it was 406 on one side of the road and 399 at the other side of the road, two different stations.
Oh my God, you're going to fall off your chair. Alex, how much is it in Australia?
What are we, just over $2 now? $2 a litre?
$2.20 a litre.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Wow. Janice?
Just crazy.
Yeah, well, for us, it's $3.07 a litre, between $3.07 and $3.29, which actually I did the quick math too, and it's $7.25 US dollars a gallon for us here at the minute.
Oh my God.
It's really expensive. Yeah.
Wow. But I mean, you know, let's be serious. I mean, it's a cost, and it's a cost that has, you know, knock-on effects. So let's go back to the salon, or actually arrive in the salon. We kind of went off on a tangent then, as we do. How do you cost out services in the salon? Alex, I'll start with you here.
Yeah, so we cost all our services based on the hourly rate. That hourly rate is, you know, what it costs to run a business, being able to be profitable. So at this stage, we're looking for non-chemical services. They're all based around $130 an hour. Chemical services, including, you know, higher product cost for colouring, we're looking at $160 an hour. So, for example, a standard haircut would be $130, and a basic half head of foils, which doesn't include any toner, additional services or blow dries, would be $160 an hour. That is just after a price rise we had just a few weeks ago, 5%, to make up for the increase.
So that was
a cost out,
because at first I was like, oh no, you've just put your prices up and everything got more expensive. Is that kind of how it happened, or...?
No, we've included that into it. So looking at what the costs of goods were going to increase, we implemented that price rise straight away.
Great. Natalie, how's the US? How's your salon operate?
So in the beginning, because I'm only about 5 years established now, and in the beginning I worked with a consulting firm to help establish kind of initial pricing, really taking into consideration the average income of the clients we had, who we were trying to attract. Like others, like you guys, we take all expenses into account when we've determined that overall service price. And then I create a service price based on cost per minute. And then all services are priced by that time per minute. So similar to Alex, but we don't do like an a la carte style. So we include things like the toner and the blow dry into that average service cost.
Okay. I think that's really good. I mean, I think that it's wonderful that you got some consulting done in that beginning. What do you think about all that, Janine?
Yes, I think we probably all come about it in the in a slightly different way, but get a similar result. So I use a formula myself. So I use, I take my break even, which includes all my operating costs and costs of amenities and things. I add to that my labour costs and my wage costs, and then the cost of goods, so my product costs, and a profit margin. So I actually add into my all of my costs the profit that I want to make on all of those services, and that's how I come up with the pricing for my salons.
Great. And so how about labour costs? Have they changed of late?
Oh, absolutely. So legally, all of our costs have increased massively over the last year. We've had a huge hike in the cost of minimum wage, which a lot of our sort of training apprentices or casual or admin staff tend to sit around that minimum wage mark. And of course, when that goes up, the knock-on effect for everyone else happens. Increased sick leave. So we have to, unlike you, Natalie, we do have to actually provide sick leave for our team. And it was 5 days per employee. So now it's an additional 5 days, as well as another public holiday we've been given over the last year as well. So the cost of labour has increased significantly for small business in the past 2 years. And all of those changes alone have far exceeded the profit margin that I had on my pricing. So I've really had to factor those into my price increases. And I do that by working out the percentage. I pretty much establish what that cost per person will be for the salon in dollar form, and then I convert it to a percentage. And there's certainly a lot to consider when we think about these things. So, you know, another 5 days sick, yes, I need to cover the cost of what that is actually going to be in labour, but I also have to factor in what the lost revenue for those 5 days is.
I mean, I think it's actually like, you know, if you think of every country that is in the Western world, you know, arguably as a pie, every country cuts the pie differently. And like Australia and New Zealand tend to be highly paid, but we're incredibly taxed as well. So, Natalie, can you round this out for your model of business?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the labor costs, you know, we're just a commission, so the employees are paid just off of the commission of their services. I don't have any type of hourly support staff, so I'm not paying anyone like an hourly wage. So I've not really seen any kind of increases there, or that's not affected my business in any way. But one way that I have helped that is by investing more in automating my business, empowering my team to take on more of the responsibilities and curating their days and taking their checkout process for their guests. And then also, we just don't have that overhead of reception has really helped us right now in that COVID world. But it's also not to say that we won't ever have any kind of hourly support staff, but right now that traditional receptionist is just not part of our business model.
Okay. Alex, I'll throw to you.
Yeah, for us, this was a tough one, actually, because our assistants are all casual staff. Now, the reason why we have so many assistants is because it's really tough to find good apprentices in Australia right now, you know, motivated young staff who want to do hairdressing. Anyway, so our model is very much assistant-based. You know, our receptionist staff are casual staff based on hourly salary. And these are costs, the casual hourly salary, which have gone up extremely over the last 6 months. So we're really feeling that. That means scheduling them correctly and only having them in on days needed, the right amount, is super important for a profit margin of our business. When it comes to the seniors, we have been paying them above minimal salary anyway. So for now, the minimal salary going up hasn't really affected that. Of course, the seniors were very excited about the 5% price rise because that means they can hit their commission threshold quicker. But what we had to do is increase their commission threshold by 2.5%. So this way, out of the 5% price rise, we get a slice, but also the stylist gets a slice of it, you know, a little bit like a price rise or an incentive for them to keep working hard.
Again, it's a different way of working the model. So you're using all of your casual staff to really up the amount of money a senior can make because you can't get enough seniors in a way.
That's correct. That's correct. And just to really make sure that when they're in the salon, they can perform really well. They can perform a lot of services because a lot of the upsell services we do, like, you know, a quick balayage around the face at the basin, zone toning treatments. These are extra income steps often assistant can do for us, or a blow dry, something like that. So getting that balance of profit and the amount, right amount of assistance on the floor, right?
It's balancing really it. So what about the rising costs of product and colour then, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, again, had such a big impact for us. But for us, it was very clear that that has to be incorporated into the price rise and be, you know, added to the client's bill or the client's service. Product and colour costs we use in the salon is so important, the profit margin. And I think that's why we also need to look at waste. Hairdressers can be very wasteful. If you can see how much product just goes down the drain. So rather than just, you know, looking at the cost of goods, it's also important to look at how much waste does your business actually create, because that's another area you can save and make your business more profitable. So for example, we do something like a waste bucket. So any leftover color goes into that waste bucket, and it's a really good area of looking how much waste do we actually produce and then address it with the team.
I know, I'm terrible. It's one of the reasons I stopped coloring hair. If anyone's ever seen me mix up color, you'll die.
I mean, you know, for us, the waste bucket, it's just dollars. It's just dollars going down the drain, especially now. And it's just, we have to look at that area as well.
Yeah. And Natalie, what about you?
I can't agree with Alex more. And I'm embarrassed to say that sometimes I'm really great at getting that first bowl just a little short, and then that second bowl just a lot over sometimes. I'm like, oh gosh, I'm gonna have to, can I put it back in the tube somehow? But you know, everyone's feeling this increase in prices. You know, I mean, we just did a product increase recently on the Kevin Murphy products. You know, now we're looking at doing a second increase. But one thing, just to kind of turn this on its head a little bit, is I'm working on my team on how we can add greater value to the service experience now, and how we can increase, as we increase our prices in the future, how do we add more value to our service so that when they feel those expenses rise, as our expenses rise, you know, it's not just, well, it's the cost of doing business and inflation and we've had to raise it, but also how do we raise that bar of service with those rising prices. So like with my massage today, for example, I had a really great massage. Whenever I left, you know, you're leaving, she's finishing up, I get a water and an electrolyte drink. And then I get a single use portion of some Epsom salts that they add a really lovely essential oil aromas to for a bath soak. And so that service doesn't end whenever I walk out the door. That service continues as I get home of a relaxing experience. And so like when I think about the rising cost of product and color, I think like, how can I translate that in my business? How can I improve my overall service? How can we make our services worth that guest money? How can we recognize that it's just expensive, including our services for some folks? And how can we lessen that pain? So maybe adding a service that's a bit more budget friendly, or maybe we're doing something like utilizing our glossing services to create a shadow route that's going to make that service go a bit further, or like a promotion. Maybe whenever you pre-book your appointment, your gloss appointment, you're going to get 20% off your purchase for a Blonde Angel treatment, something that's going to take that service just that little bit further, or a promotion on leaders, you know, so because they're feeling those pinches everywhere. And like, how can we, as our prices increase and we increase that price to them, we can some way make them feel that we're giving that back in a different form.
I love that. I mean, you've thrown a lot in there. So Janine, I'll get you to answer and you can absolutely comment on anything that Natalie just said.
Yeah, for sure. All of that just resonates so highly with me. I really feel we do need to stay firm in our prices, and people, as long as they perceive that there is high value attached to what they're paying, then they will remain loyal and dedicated clients or customers of the salon. So, yeah, I think that's a great thing for us to always be looking at, like, how can we just keep adding value and that experience to our salon services.
I also loved the metaphor you used, Natalie, of the massage and actually taking the massage home. That's lovely.
Thank you. I mean, it is, you know, I just had that massage and then later I'm going to sit in my soap, you know, with my Epsom salts. And I think that's a really nice touch. And, you know, how can we make those personalized touches for our clients, you know, I think is very important.
Yeah. And that experience beyond the salon, right? So there's a really big movement around bringing that salon experience into the home or into your personal life. So when they're not in your chair, they're still thinking about you, which is very much what that experience is for you there, Natalie, which I think is great. But for us, you know, in order to stay profitable in our salons, really, these expenses, they need to and they do get passed on to our salon consumer. The salon client in our world, you know, that we need to pass those costs on to them. So again, with the changes in the world, these have been really significant over the past 2 years. So implementing a price rise, historically, I increase prices annually in my salon. Generally, I do it in October because for me, it's all about the timing. In October, we have pre-booked and rebooked all of our clients with the run into Christmas. And we are fully booked, generally speaking, from October right through to early January. So our clients really don't try and move their appointment as they know. They're very programmed, they're planned, they're prepared, they're ready for that run into Christmas. And with all of our competitor salons that sort of sit in the same demographic or brand or part of the market that we do, they also are fully booked. So it's a really challenging time for clients to make that decision to change a salon.
Right, so that's you've touched on now when you actually implement that. So it's clever to implement a price rise when your books are full, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think, you know, an annual price rise at a minimum is an absolute must. Otherwise, you really do get left behind. And then what happens if you have to do a really big price hike, and that can be scary for a salon owner and the stylist within, and also for our salon clients. So one of the things that I do is I alternate my price increases. So one time, 1 year, I'll increase all of my technical services. So by technical, I mean colour, straightening, perming, all of our sort of chemical services, if you like. And then the next year, I'll look to increase our haircuts, our blow waves, our treatments, our hair ups. And this way, I'm really meeting the rising costs of the salon. And I continue to make a profit. But for our clients, if they're having cuts and colours, it's not a massive hike on everything for them. So that really works for us. And yes, I definitely, Nathan, coming back to your point before, I look at fully booked columns. And, you know, when demand is high, that is absolutely the perfect time to put your prices up.
But I love that really simple idea of perhaps, you know, put the price up in chemicals at this point and put the price up in cutting at this point. Or if it's indeed cost of goods sold, then you need to put the price up across everything. So it's having that flexibility. That's great. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally we used to increase our prices in January or July. This year we did it in February just because January was still a bit like, oh, what's going to happen? Let's analyze a bit more how much our costs of goods going up. In saying that, listening to Janine, I love the idea of putting it up in October ahead of the busy period. So I might do that this year. Thank you, Janine.
Because December just seems mean, doesn't it?
Yeah, December sounds mean.
Happy Christmas.
That's right.
I love that. Okay, Natalie, what's happening in Austin, Texas?
I also think that's a great idea to look at that in October. And I also really love the doing the technical services of haircutting 1 year and then looking at color increases the next. I think that's a beautiful idea. And I jotted that one down for sure. You guys do your fiscal year like a July to June, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So we do ours a January through December fiscal year. So, I really was happy with what we talked about with my bookkeeper regarding our quarter four, which is the that last part of the year, and had a really nice review. So our next meeting, we're going to look more about the impact of the price increases that were had and determine if we need to do a further market adjustment. So honestly, I've never really had a time that I've increased it other than, like you said, looking at the books too, you know, if do we need to do a price increase? How's a promotion happening? So I guess we do price increases in two ways, one market adjustment and mm-hmm. the other stylist promotions. I just did a promotion on three stylists. One of those was including myself. I was not following the good advice of those smaller increases, so I had to do a 14% increase in mine because that guilt was eating me during, you know, COVID. I wasn't standing firm in my in my power of raising my prices, and it just didn't feel right to increase my prices during some of these harder COVID times, although I was definitely increasing my team's prices. So yeah, for me, it was a 14% increase, and I went from like $1.26 per minute to like $1.46 per minute.
I mean, I'm, you know, Alex can probably comment on this, but I think I'm probably a bit like you, Natalie, a bit of a softie, and I inherited long-term clients. I'd been cutting their hair for years, even while I was still working at Kevin Murphy, and I hadn't put their prices up since they'd retired. And then I realised that they were probably all baby boomers with huge superannuations. I wasn't actually doing anyone a favor, but I love that. But Natalie, I will make the comment so far in this podcast, you're the only one that has the means and the time to go and have an experienced massage.
I have to. I just will not be able to move my body.
No, I'm joking. I'm teasing, though. Okay, so how do you communicate a price rise, guys? I'll start with Alex.
Yeah, this year we sent out a text message. So that was a text message which went out to all customers who had an appointment in the last 12 months and have a future appointment booked. So a couple of thousand messages went out. It was a very simple, clear message saying we're going up with our prices approximately 5% because of, you know, increase of costs for the business, something like that. It was quite interesting. Out of the thousands of messages which went out, I think maybe four people responded, questioning it or, you know, being a bit curious about it. Mostly positive responses, like saying, we don't mind, you guys are worth it, thanks for everything. Otherwise, that was kind of it. Like, there was not much backlash. I also did it at a time. The reason why I did it was because personally, I received a few messages from places I'm going to informing me about price rises. Even the supermarket chain explained that there will be a price rise. So I knew that our clients are getting messages like that at the moment too. So I just slipped mine in there and thought, okay, there you go. So now you know. So it wasn't actually that much of a big deal. The main reason why I did it was because I just wanted to take that pressure off the staff. So the staff knew when their clients come in, they had a message. We quote before we start our services. I mean, regular clients, we don't quote every single time, but if they have a big color change or if it's a new client, we always quote and there's no surprises at the end. So yeah, for us, actually, that text message worked really well and we had maybe one or two difficult conversations out of hundreds.
I think that's interesting. Janine, I'll get you to jump in next, but I want you to start with your 80-20 rule because that might help Alex and listeners with that percentage of clients that don't take a price rise very well.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I'm a massive fan of an 80-20 rule. I'm sure if most salons, if you do your numbers, you know, 20% of your clients actually pay 80% of your income or generate 80% of your revenue. So, yeah, 80-20 rule when it comes to putting prices up for us works in the way that you will retain 80% of your clients in a generalized speaking form. And the 20% that you lose actually makes way for new clients to fill your columns that will pay your new prices. So whenever you put your prices up, that 80-20 rule, you're actually better off within a very short time frame.
Oh, and you know what? I think it's an opportunity to freshen up your clientele. What do you all think?
100%.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I agree.
Yep. Absolutely. I always say to my staff, look, if you lose a couple, it just gives you that space to get another couple new ones. So I totally agree with you, Janine. I think that's so good.
Great. And so, Janine, you don't. So would you to touch on that?
Yeah, generally speaking, I don't actually communicate with our clients around a price increase. I sort of work on the
proviso, you know, generally speaking, supermarkets, petrol stations, they don't let you know when prices are going up. So sure. I historically don't. I haven't communicated to our clients. What I do is I educate my team internally on what to say and do if a client asks or objects, because like you, Alex, we pre-coat all of our services before we start. And if a client does object, we will absolutely honour the price that they have been paying historically with the message, but now you know, and so next time it will definitely be that new price. You know, with the this year I actually did, when I put my prices up, I've actually had to put my prices up 3 times in 18 months, whereas normally I would only do it once a year, so I've actually slipped an extra one in there. I've done that because I've had to. So many things have gone up around me. I did send out an email for that one, probably for the same reasons that you did, Alex. I mean, there was a lot of people communicating price rises, and we really wanted to let our clients have the opportunity. You know, we invited them to connect directly with myself or my front of house team to have a chat about it if they wanted, because as a salon, we actually offer a tiered pricing system. So the clients that did object to a price or were going to find it a struggle, we could then offer them the opportunity to come in with one of our lower tiered stylists.
Which is also another way to freshen up the clientele and get a bit of movement and attach clients to the salon in that way.
100%, 100%. And more often than not, you know, they love coming to the salon for the experience. Some are very dedicated to their stylist and loyal to their stylist, and that's fine. They'll pay that extra price. But the ones that still want the main salon experience will be quite happy to move to an emerging talent or a senior stylist rather than an executive and enjoy the same benefits.
Great. That's wonderful. Okay, so I really think that we are crossing all different types of salons, and that's really good, because Janine, you're being the voice for the kind of that big salon. Alex, you're kind of a big salon, but you don't have that structure of tiering. You essentially operate with a lot of seniors and have the support around that. And Natalie, it's that individual stylist, that champion as well. So I'd love to hear your take on it.
So I've been really torn between, do I send out the information or the increase via text or email, or do I not? And I've chose two. And so I've sent it in email format and also in text notification. And we like to celebrate in the salon. So for example, Kayla, one of my young stylists, she takes a goal and she smashes through it like it's nothing, you know? And she just had her 2-year anniversary. So I like to, you know, treat the salon when we have an anniversary in the salon, and we have, I always get everyone a balloon that's like a huge balloon in the number in which they've been working in the salon. So she's at her 2-year mark and the clients say, what is this? And I'm like, oh, she hit a promotion. She's been here 2 years and they're excited about it. But I was really happy when I sent out that email for her promotion, because we have had 3 kind of really quickly with her. And I'm always really humbled when the guests respond with encouragement to those communications about the promotions, or they say they're proud of us for raising the prices, or, you know, great job and, you know, making it to that next level. So I don't know, maybe I just need a little bit of validation sometimes from that. It is kind of scary sometimes whenever you do raise those prices, and especially when it's your own prices, that's for dang sure.
But I love the verbiage, Natalie, about promotions. I mean, why don't hairdressers get promotions? We consider that a corporate world, and it's completely acceptable to be promoted and get to another rung and make more money. And I know that that's probably happening in your salon as well, Janine, in terms of, you were saying, your top-tiered stylists and actually how you promote your, I don't want to say lower stylists, what do you call them, emerging artists?
Yeah, yeah? Emerging talent, yeah.
I love that. Let's celebrate.
Yes, absolutely. I probably don't celebrate it quite as well as you do, Natalie. So, yeah, I agree. That resonates really well with me too around the promotions, and corporate world do celebrate that, so why shouldn't we? You're right.
That's right. A nice, simple idea. Thank you. So I wanted to keep this simple, so we are kind of getting to the end of it, but by focusing on all these key points, we can help salons and stylists. But as we begin to wrap, I want to ask what advice you have for listeners. I'll start with you, Janine.
Yeah, sure thing. So, you know, apart from tiered stylist, another one of my top tips, going back to what Alex was saying earlier about pre-quoting, definitely pre-quoting and teaching your team to work well with client budgets by way of being able to offer different services or prioritising where their clients should, would, could or spend their dollar with you today, I think is key. And when it comes to putting for a price increase, absolutely doing your numbers. So you really need to take a good look at what the cost of goods are, including freight, because freight, let's face it, that has changed hugely in the last year or two as well. Any legal changes and increases in amenities such as rent and insurances, and then work out what that percentage increase actually looks like for you overall. And this is a minimum of what you need to change your prices by. I mean, for me, typically, I probably look to change my prices by 7 to 10% every year just to keep up and keep that profit margin high.
I think that's interesting. But listeners, if you actually don't have the head to do that, Janine, you'd be like Natalie and you'd actually, you know, partner with someone that could help you do all of that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think if that's not your strong suit, there are, yeah, you need to seek help for that sort of thing. But a really quick tip for one part of this exercise is to take your annual expenses and divide it by the number of clients you've annually serviced in the salon, and that will give you the average cost of a client for you over that year, if that makes sense. So once you've established that, then you just really need to add on the increase in expenses and the profit you want to make.
Any other advice?
Keep it simple. I think keep your pricing simple. One of the key things for me, it's an old yet very effective strategy, is to end your prices in either a 9 or a 7 or an odd number, round it up if you need to. It's all to do with sort of how the brain can calculate even versus odd numbers and the perception on how much your price has increased.
Okay, that's great. I mean, Janine, I love your business acumen. I think that you actually are quite phenomenal in how you run your salon. And still to this day, you're the only salon I know that takes Bitcoin. So you're obviously a very canny operator. Alex, what about your tips and tricks?
Well, I love everything Janine just said. I totally agree. I mean, maybe I say something a bit more from an emotional point of view. I mean, so many salon owners and stylists are always so worried about price rises and how to communicate it, because we've got that one-on-one time with customers. We've known them for so many years, but we do have to remember we are a business. Our stylists are a business. And if the quality of work is there, if your stylists are trained well, if you've got an incredible service experience in there which matches the expectations of your clients, you have nothing to worry about. And especially during times like this, we have to keep our businesses profitable. So really do it. Look at a price rise, be clever about it, communicate it well, quote before you start, and do it regularly. It's such an important
Great. Natalie, last but certainly never least in my mind.
Well, thanks again for having me here today. But for me, you know, as a full-time hairdresser in the salon, as well as a business owner, I found it very helpful to invest in a really great salon software service. I love what I use because I'm able to get quick, like snapshot health check reports of my business. I can go dive deep with some breakdowns. They're really forward thinking and they offer a lot of support. Also, for me, believe in having a superstar bookkeeper and accountant that can do a lot of the bookkeeping work and the paperwork that allows me a little bit of time to focus more on my hairdressing, but I can also keep a constant finger on the pulse of my business. One big thing that's really helped me a lot this year is I've decided to take every other Tuesday as an admin day, which is just going to allow me to look, you know, deeper at my business and to put my time focus there that doesn't come out of my personal time. So really giving yourself, especially if you're one of those people that works behind the chair and runs your business, allowing yourself that time to be both the hairdresser and the business owner.
And have a massage?
And have a massage. Absolutely. Drink lots of water, stretch, and have a massage.
I love it. I love regularly. It. Regularly. Okay, so I'm going to start wrapping this up. So, Janine, I'd like you to say goodbye, and please, we didn't actually give a shout-out to your salon, your socials, and all of that.
Oh, sure. Yes. So, thanks so much for having me. It's been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed listening to everyone, and Natalie and Alex, so many great tips and tricks in there too. Awesome. So my salon is Main Salon. So on Instagram, it is main_salon. And then I am Hebers1010 on Instagram. So yeah, I'd love to catch up with anyone and everyone who's out there. Just start following me and I'll follow you back. And yeah, thanks for having me. What a great session.
Thanks, Janine. You really are a triple threat. You're a creative, a business person, and a colour master. And thanks for being here to Alexander Fuchs, your very first appearance on Conversations with Kevin. So give yourself a shout out, Alex.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love this. I took so many notes myself, so I really love talking business with other business owners. You can find us on Instagram, Fuchs Hair. That's F-U-C-H-S and the word hair. Please reach out. And yeah, thanks for having me.
That's great. Thanks. And Natalie, we know you're in Austin, Texas.
Well, I'm really expecting everyone to visit me during Fast Forward when you all come to visit.
We'll be there.
I love it. And thank you again so much for letting me participate. And I have got the coolest friends, guys. For anyone that wants to reach out, you can follow us, nova.hair.collective on Instagram. Hi, team. I hope everybody's doing well. And thanks again.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Natalie. That's just wonderful. And Natalie gave a shout out to Fast Forward, which is our upcoming Kevin Murphy show. So we are doing both Austin, Texas and Berlin, Germany. So we're in Berlin on June the 19th and 20th and in Austin, Texas on August the 7th and 8th. If you want more information about that, go to kevinmurphy.com.au. We would love to see you there. It's going to be a fantastic show. So this has been Conversations with Kevin, and I hope that in some way listening to this advice of these sage business owners helps you in some way to not be shy of raising prices, but also gave you some really practical tips and tricks. I know it sounds tough in the world right now to raise prices, but, you know, you have to really get your head around that because inflation is certainly going up. So for more business content, look to Kevin Murphy and Colour Me Education. But I actually think we might have these guests back because I believe that Janine, Natalie and Alex are a really good snapshot of speaking for salons around the world. What do you think about that, guys?
Love to be back.
Yeah, love
for
to.
Sure.
Great. And for more business content, look to, as I said, Kevin Murphy and Colour Me Education. Our Session Salon program is also a great business program as well. This has been Conversations with Kevin. I'm Nathan Gorman. See you next time.